Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I was reading like this graphic. You know, they give you a graphic and it says most home runs in MLB history. And it starts off in like 1890 and then you see it like the chart move until you get to 2024. So I was looking at this chart about how couples have met each other going back to 1930. What? Okay. How couples met.
That is random.
School, family, bar, restaurant, coworkers, friends, neighbors, college, online.
Oh, I got it.
All right. So when you start off in 1930, it is very consistent for about 50 years. It's friends and family, and friends are the top three.
Of course.
Family is first place until
arranged marriages.
Yeah.
That's what that sounds like.
No doubt. In about 1947, it flips to friends. And friends really takes the lead. It continues to add through the years. Everything else goes down. And it's friends very consistently all the way until 2011. And from 2011 on, online jumps friends. In 2023, online is 65%, which is overwhelmingly the number. Friends would always hover in the 20s and 30s, but it was never above 50%. But in 2024, the current number, this is according to Stanford University, the official numbers in this moment, 65% met online.
How is that possible?
13% friends, 8% coworkers, and then everything else is 2%. Church, school, family, neighbors, college. Oh, it makes a lot of sense.
But I'm trying to think of my, again, this is a different era for me because I'm older. It's not my generation.
Mm-hmm.
I know one friend that met online, married. This is a college friend.
Yeah.
Back then. So this was a while ago.
It started probably in the late 90s would be my guess.
And they're still, I mean, he got married and they're married for however long it is, 20 years at this point. But I don't know a lot of friends that are met online.
See, I think it's the age thing. So in 1999,
I'm trying to think of any of my friends that I know that met online.
In 1999, mating online was 3%, so a small number. In 2003, it's up to 7%. In 2010, it was so already up to 20%.
My era was pre-2000.
Exactly.
So it wasn't even 5%. It was probably 5% at that point.
I've gone on, in my lifetime, before I was lucky enough to meet my wife, I've probably been on 100 dates, right? Is that fair, give or take?
Okay.
I would say out of the 100, 91 of them have been because I met them online.
Are you serious? Wait, 100 dates with 100 women?
100 different women. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not the same because I've been on. Yeah,
that's what I mean.
Yeah. 100, I probably have gone out.
Starting when?
Starting in 2000.
Oh, so it was post 2000.
Well, yeah, because I was born in 83.
Right. I mean, it makes sense because when I went to college, email was like, what's this email thing?
Right, right.
you can get an email. You get a letter via a computer?
Yeah.
Right, so AOL was barely around when I graduated.
Well, when I started like really dating, the best part about online is there's different places you can go for what you want.
Mm.
So if you're looking for a crazy night, you go here. If you're looking to meet the love of your life, you go here.
Mm.
If you only want to hook up with somebody who's very specifically into certain politics, you go here.
Oh my
if
God.
You only want to hook up with people who are certainly into certain things, you go here. It's like a menu. It really is. It's like a smorgasbord, if you will.
And thinking you're going to find love.
And thinking you're going to find love.
So Evan's interviewed more wife candidates than Woody has head coaching candidates.
Oh, definitely, definitely. But I would say like more than half of them was just, I'm looking to.
Right, you weren't looking for a wife.
No, I was looking for a wife. I was looking to have fun. And it was effective.
And it makes total sense because it's a convenience thing. You could just be taking care of your business in the bathroom. You could be shopping and you're on your phone meeting girls like 40 matches in like 2 minutes.
But think about how crazy that is. You could just be shopping in the bathroom or whatever.
Let's
you're
go
doing
with that. It's combined.
You're just kind of like, oh, that's interesting. Hey, want to go on a date? Sure, great. Now you're going on a date.
That's right. Swipe right. There we go.
The best one I ever did is I got dumped, and as I was getting dumped, I was organizing a new date based online. Like, it was just unbelievable. Like, she was still explaining things, and I'm like, I've already moved on. Like, I'm already looking for what I'm doing on Tuesday night.
Which is probably what she was explaining to you.
That was probably...
Evan did that with Donovan Mitchell rumors after Durant left.
I had friends that were so addicted to Tinder because I think it was an addiction. Like, we would be out in, like, Vegas where there were tons of girls in bathing suits around us, and they'd be on the Tinder app. I'm like, would you set your radius to 3 miles here on the strip?
I'll tell you the reason why on that, Loogie. So this was the biggest issue I remember having when I was meeting girls at bars. I had no idea if they were single or not.
Mm.
And I had no idea if they'd be interested in a loser like me. If you've already had that weird connection thing online, you get that crap right out of the way.
Yeah, you're not getting the immediate rejection.
That's right.
The immediate rejection is out. It's gone.
Well, not even the immediate rejection. I'll never forget this one. I was at a bar talking to this girl for 45 minutes, and it was going well. Like, I'm spitting game. Like, things are going great. And then finally, she's like, oh, yeah, my boyfriend.
J. Edgar Hoover, did you know?
Maybe I mentioned him once or twice. And then finally, she's like, oh, yeah, my boyfriend's here, by the way. He'd really like you. You're a nice guy. And I'm like, what the hell were we just doing for 45 minutes?
But the
and that's, look, you could argue it was my fault. Maybe my game wasn't good enough.
Right.
But if I knew, why would have I bothered? And that's the beauty of the online, because you caught out the uncertainty on if this person's even available.
But I think about knowing if you, it's still a game to it, even if they're unavailable.
Look at you.
Oh, I love you. Tiki, yeah, we just became even closer. It's all about the game and the catch. The other thing you run into, and I'm sure Evan has done this if you've done this many dates online, catfish. Not just filtering, because we know the power of Instagram and the filters, but you might show up thinking you're meeting a girl who scores baseball games, and
next
it ends
thing
up
you
being...
know, Nev Schulman's on your door saying, I can help take care of this for you.
She's 70 and her name's Dottie.
Do you count catfishing as, well, she doesn't look like her pictures?
That is like a lesser form of catfish. Yeah, I'm talking about it's a totally just different person, and they're not into the stuff they said. You know what I mean? Totally got
believe
bamboozled.
Believe it or not, never happened. Never happened. Only once, I remember I was talking to a girl, and I think on our second email, she started asking for money.
What?
And that's when I knew, oh, it was a catfish. No, he was right. And
how the hell did she ask for money?
I'm stuck in Russia.
Oh, God, come on.
No, I'll never forget where I was. I was at a Brooklyn Nets game.
Talking to a girl from in Russia?
Hanging out with, I think, Paul Rosenberg, who works here. And I was like, I think
no, she was in a basement in Brooklyn. Or,
I'm a loser.
Or he was in a basement in Brooklyn.
But guess what? I closed the app. That was it.
Like, I should have given the number to Rosenberg. He would have been.
Probably. But fascinating, the world has evolved. Toll-free number is 888-808-1019. We're an hour away from a big Met playoff game, and we're only 2 hours away from a huge Yankee playoff game. They are about to play Game 3 of the American League Division Series against the Kansas City Royals, and it's one of those games, and I said this going into the series, where doesn't mean they're going to lose, but the Kansas City Royals have the starting pitching edge. They absolutely do. Seth Lugo has had an outstanding season this year, and the Yankees decided not to go with Luis Gil, who I thought was a lock to be in this rotation not much longer than 2-3 weeks ago, but instead they go with Clark Schmidt. And Clark Schmidt's been solid. He's okay. Like, if you look at the way he's performed since he's come back from the injured list, 4 2/3 no runs, 5 2/3 two runs, 5 innings, 1 earned run, 5 1/3, 3 runs. His last start against Pittsburgh, not great, 4 innings, 4 runs. He's been fine. But does he exude confidence?
I mean, only because of what you think he's supposed to be this year is your feeling confidence as a Yankee fan. Because of
postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What he did before he went on the IL, and then some of these games that he's been back. But the thing that worries you, I think, as a Yankees fan, is that it just hasn't been consistent. And it's not his fault. It's just he was hurt. He was unavailable.
Well, but you know what the other problem is? Like, all those starts I just gave you that Clark had, if he gives the Yankees any one of those kinds of performances today, you'd say, oh, it's not bad. It doesn't work unless they hit Seth Lugo.
Yeah.
Like, Clark Schmidt is a keep-you-in-the-game kind of starting pitcher, which is fine. Seth Lugo has had a wonderful season. He's had a great year, and the way the Yankee bats went so limp in Game 2, I think the biggest fear that Yankee fans have going into Game 3 is, are they going to hit Seth Lugo?
Right.
Are they going to find a way to score runs? So Clark Schmidt giving you a 5 1/3 inning, 2-run or 3-run performance isn't the end of the world, but Seth Lugo twirling 7 scoreless is.
Well, let's face it. I mean, different than the Mets, where it feels like they have the pitching edge and they can score 2 runs and still find a way to win a baseball game. The Yankees feel like they need to score.
Yes.
And it goes back to the narrative that we've been talking about all week, really, with them, is that Aaron Judge's got to hit, right? These guys got to start producing runs. And if they don't, then it puts a pitcher in Clark Schmidt, who has been good, but he doesn't get deep in games, it puts him in a really tough, pressure-filled situation.
And it's the
last thing you want for him.
So here's the other problem. So he may not go deep into the game, and the easy answer is, well, you have Luis Hill. Okay, mm-hmm. Luis Hill could definitely and is likely to kind of follow up Clark Schmidt and throw a few innings. Here's why I personally don't love that. You are setting yourself up to have to rely on Carlos Rodon in a winner-take-all game 5. And personally, I've been saying this since June to you. I haven't been proven wrong yet. I would not trust this guy in any kind of big spot.
Well,
and he showed that to you 2 days
right,
ago.
Right, you just saw it. He was fine until he wasn't.
Right.
Right? He was fired up. He looked the part.
Oh, I was eating words in the first few innings. Right. But the problem with Carlos Rodon is that he can lose it at any moment.
And he did.
And that's exactly what he did.
And so, yeah, if they lose this game, it's Garrett Cole all day. And you get the deciding game 5, and you have a decision to make.
Yeah.
Who do you start?
I mean, it's going to be Carlos Rodon. I'm just telling you, I don't trust him. And having yourself set up to have to pitch him in a winner-take-all game gives me a massive stomach ache if I'm a Yankee fan. But I think that's the situation you put yourself in. I mean, now, if Clark right. Schmidt goes 6 scoreless and you don't pitch Luis Hill in this game, then that could change things. Maybe you do go to a Hill in a game 4 and push Cole back for a game 5. I'd have more confidence in Luis Hill in a game 5 than Carlos Rodon. I do not know, and I've been saying this since June, and maybe I'll be proven wrong at some point. I don't necessarily want to be right. He reeks of a guy who can't handle the moment.
Hmm.
And so far, he hasn't proven any of us wrong in that regard.
I think we saw this early in the season with Carlos Rodon, is that he thinks he knows what he's great at. And so when things get pressure-filled or tense or urgent, he just goes back to that, what he thinks he's really great at. And then his pitch sequencing gets all out of whack. He ends up relying overly on a fastball that is hittable, and he ends up getting knocked around. As opposed to doing the opposite, which is just chill out. Trust your catcher, right? Trust the game plan. Pitch to a pitch. Don't actually just try to overpower everybody. And so I think with Carlos Rodon, it becomes a mind game. So if that's what you're talking about, I think you're right. Like once he starts over-analyzing and thinking about how he's going to be better than the guy that he's facing, that's when he gets in trouble. Sometimes you just got to trust what you're being told to do.
888-808-1019, a little less than an hour away from a Met playoff game, a potential closeout game, and a big swing game in Yankees-Royals. Back to your calls with Pablo in Dover, New Jersey. How you doing today, Pablo?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good.
Evan, I'm here to talk you off the ledge, my friend. I have a couple points as to why tonight the Mets are getting it done.
Go.
First things first, this is a perfect Quintana game. Cold weather, you know, he's not throwing fastballs at these guys. He's going to pick his spots, and that lineup is going to be tense. Those guys need to deliver. A couple clean innings, our bullpen is ready to go. Second, Ranger Suarez, he had an amazing first half of the season, got hurt around the All-Star break. He is not the same pitcher. He's going to have a short leash in that Phillies bullpen, which was their strength. They had probably the second-best bullpen in all of baseball. They can't put together a clean inning against the Mets. This is over tonight, my friend. We're going to San Diego. Let's go, Mets.
Hey, freaking men. Here's what worries me about Ranger Suarez. Ranger Suarez has not been good for 2 months or a month or whatever the exact date is. Early part of the season, he was a Cy Young contender. He's one of the best pitchers in baseball. He's fallen off if you look at the way he's pitched over the last month. Ranger Suarez has been a very, very good postseason pitcher. He has delivered in some of the biggest spots. This is the biggest spot. Their season is literally on the line. And I have an expectation that Ranger Suarez will deliver at least a semi-solid performance
for the Philadelphia. Unless the pressure ticks up and he cracks.
Oh, God, please.
He cracks at City.
You know what I need?
While Evan's in the car heading over.
And that's okay. I'm going to tell you what I'd sign for, because I'm not about selfishness. It isn't about me. If the New York Mets could just pound the crap out of Ranger Suarez and make this a 9-0 game, and then I get there in the 6th inning and it's 9-0, and I see nothing else. I don't see any runs scored, no home runs, no Met magic. I just see the Mets get the final 12 outs of the game, 9 outs of the game, whatever it is. Sign me up!
I'm here for the party. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need a magical moment. I would be more than thrilled to see a scenario like that happen. Because I've said this to you guys before. You think I'm nuts. I don't like the drama. The drama's not fun to me. I like the easiness. The last time the Mets ever had a celebration on a playoff clinching series was back in 2000 against the Cardinals. That game was a party. There was nothing stressful about that dominant victory over the St. Louis Cardinals. Check the final score. It was like 6-0 or 7-0 or 8-0. Google it. Sean, Google it. You'll see I'm right. Or you don't have to Google it. You know what you can do?
Oh, here we go.
Could open up My Mets Bible and find it.
I'm a loser.
By the way, go to Amazon. The holidays are just around the corner,
Let's
folks.
See if I found it. All right, June 8th, 2000. October 7th, 2000. I'm getting very close right now. Here it is. Nope, that's the Bobby Jones one.
And there's also an audio version of My Mets Bible.
That's right, I found it. Here it is, page 142. Winning the 2000 pennant. October 16th, 2000, Mets 7, Cardinals nothing. See, I was pretty accurate about it. And if you look at the scorecard from this game, which I now am because it's in my book, the Mets scored 3 runs in the first inning. Robin Ventura with a 2-run single. They scored 3 runs in the fourth inning to make it 6-0, and the rest of it was a party.
Narrated by me, Evan Roberts.
True story. Who knew that My Mets Bible would be help as we were
so,
talking
Evan,
about something?
Evan, it's funny because this all ties together. We were just talking about, you know, meeting women, whether it's out or online. Essentially, 45,000 people at the stadium today are your boys at the bar. They're talking to all these girls. You just want to show up at 1 a.m. where everybody's revved up, and you're going to take somebody home. That's what you want. You want everybody to do the legwork for you.
Yes.
Yeah, that's selfish.
Well, listen,
that's a little selfish.
If it was a perfect world, I'd be at the entire game.
Now,
but I don't have that option. So, yes, I'd rather just show up and have it be easy.
You had that option. We would have forgiven you.
Nah, I can't do that. We're gonna do as much of the show as I possibly can.
Look at him. He's already sweating.
I know. Look,
does anybody
fidgety.
Remember?
Did you notice the fidgetiness happening?
It's Wednesday.
I'm very fidgety.
I remember a 48-hour-ago comment from Evan Roberts. You know, this is why I went Sunday. It scratched my itch. You are as itchy as you've ever been right now.
So I want to correct you on something. You're right and you're wrong at the same time. So I went to Philadelphia on Sunday, absolutely scratched an itch. Yesterday, I didn't go to the playoff game. Me and Loogie, Pete Hoffman, Anthony Gallo, who works here, we all watched the game in a performance space here at WFN, and I think we had a great time. We really did. Like, we watched the game. The game was over. I did a Rico, and I had no issues not being at the game. So let's start there. And I stand by that. I've experienced it. I'm good. The difference today is the Mets could party for the first time in 24 years. And Sean, I don't expect you or any other Yankee fan to understand that because you've partied a lot.
Lost count.
You've lost count.
I've been to a couple clinchers.
Like literally, if I tried off the top of my head to name all the home playoff clinchings since the last Met one, I mean, do you want to do it?
No, I don't.
2000 American League Championship Game 6 against the Mariners. Get your tokens ready. That line still pisses me off, Kay. Then you've got 2001 Division Series against Oakland, Game 5. Game 5 against Seattle, you win the American League pennant. I just named 3 in 2 years! Then 2003, the Aaron Boone game. There's 4. Then you've got a little bit of a layoff at that point because they clinched on the road in 04, lost in the first round of 05, 06, 07. 2009, you guys won the pennant at Yankee Stadium, correct?
Yes, versus the Angels, same night the Giants lost to the Cardinals.
And the World Series against the Philadelphia Phillies.
Yep.
So that's 2 right there. I forget about 10 because I know you won the Division Series, but I think you did it on the
2010
road.
2010 to 2016 feel like the same year.
Yeah, they all do. And they were all on the road. Then you've got wild card victory in 17, home. Wild card victory in 18, home. And 2022 now, Division Series against Cleveland, Game 5, home.
Now,
so think about it. How many did I just name, TJ?
I think
9?
I think you missed one. Didn't we win the game after the Ibanez pinch hits game and clinched?
Great call. That's a Game 5 against the Orioles. I was there. I don't even remember when I was there, Sean.
I was there, too. That's how I remember.
You know what was weird about that game, Tiki?
What?
The Yankees played a Game 5 against the Orioles on a Friday afternoon. And CC started.
That's odd.
Yeah. It was a late Friday afternoon, and the ballpark was half empty when it started. And I went with a bunch of Yankee fans.
Won't that happen if the Mets?
No. So here's the difference. And I was explaining this at the time with my friends. It wasn't just that it was a Friday afternoon. Yankee fans didn't like that team. They didn't believe in that team. And the reason I was there
you
for
You mean Friday afternoon, like Friday at like 1, 2?
No, I would say like 4 o'clock. Like very similar to today.
Right, it could happen for the Mets on Friday.
Right. Well, it's happening for the Mets today. The Mets are playing
well, this is five. I mean, you're talking after the.
Yeah, it's the same thing. 4 or 5 o'clock.
No, I mean, it's not. If you're working on a Friday.
Okay. But I don't think the issue necessarily was the time. I thought the issue was Yankee fans didn't believe in that team. That's why I was at the game. I didn't spend any money to go to the game. I bought upper deck seats for like $25.
Right.
I ended up going to like two of those Yankee Oriole games, including the Ibanez game that Sean mentioned, because there was no market. Like the Yankee fans just for whatever reason didn't believe in the team.
That's rare though. Like
it was the truth. I bought Ernie Acosta's tickets cheap for that game.
Dude, it happens sometimes. It's kind of like how we went to Philadelphia for Knicks Sixers. Like the Sixer fan just
didn't believe in the 76ers, justifiably so.
Right. Like it's funny, for all the negativity that Yankee fans may have about this team. I'm not telling you Yankee tickets are the hottest tickets in the world, but they're not cold. You know, it's expensive.
No, dude, the Yankees win the next two nights and play back-to-back and these playoffs start having some rhythm and they have a moment. The fans are going to buy in ALCS.
No, I think Sean, I think they've already bought in. Like, the get-in price for game one and two was expensive. Right. I'm not saying it was as expensive as the Phillies or the Mets, but I'm saying it was hot. Like, it's a hot ticket, and I completely agree with you. If there's a Game 5 Saturday night against Kansas City, I think that's a red-hot ticket.
Totally.
ALCS against Detroit, who, by the way, is up on Cleveland in Game 3, 2-0. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a red-hot ticket. But for whatever reason, that Yankee team, 2012, right?
That sounds right.
That was the year Jeter got hurt in the ALCS.
That's right.
Game 1 against the Tigers. Like, there just wasn't a belief in that team. That's not the same with this current Yankee team. How we feeling, New York City? It's game time. The New York Yankees trying to take a 2-1 series lead on the Kansas City Royals. The New York Mets trying to say it's closing time at Citi Field against the Philadelphia Phillies. The former Mets, Seth Lugo, on the mound for the Royals. Clark Schmidt on the mound for the Yankees. Jose Quintana on the mound for the Metsies. Ranger Suarez on the mound for the Philadelphia Phillies. I'm very nervous. I'm very excited, but I'm very nervous.
How are you feeling? Excited?
I'm nervous.
I'm trying to think of what your emotion is right now.
Nervous.
Is your heart like fluttering?
Yes.
Are your palms getting sweaty?
Not quite.
Not yet.
Are you trying to do an Eminem song right now?
Palms are sweaty. Knees deep. Vomit on my sweater.
I think the problem is, and I need to be better at this,
uh-huh.
And I lectured after you said it, you got to enjoy the moment. This is a really cool moment for New York sports and for New York baseball.
I think it's not even enjoying the moment. It's anticipating the success, what happens after success. That's what you need to be doing.
Yeah.
Not preparing yourself for the failure that's going
to come. So should I plan out a trip to San Diego? Is that what you're telling me?
No. I'm talking about like the immediate success. Oh, like, okay. What am I doing when they win?
Well,
what must I make sure to take in and observe and take pictures of or... I don't know, be a part of. Like, that's what you should be doing.
Lugie's going to get humped on his leg if the Mets win tonight.
Yeah, again?
Because I think, are you coming with me after the show?
I would love to. Is this your way of inviting me? Or?
Well, I don't have any tickets, so we're just kind of going in ourselves and awkwardly trying to find a place to watch the game.
If we don't have tickets, I don't know how I'm getting in. I assume you could pull a string or two, and if that's the case, I will come.
Yeah, I can get you a second press credential or something. You are sort of press, and then we will totally not act like press once we're inside.
Okay. Sort of press.
But if we're standing next to each other,
you have on, Lugie?
So I'm going with the Grimace look here today. Oh, I got a purple shirt on, which is also the color of royalty.
Nice.
Little black skinny jeans, black hat, so it's the Grimace look.
No, you're good.
Yeah, he looks like Mike Puma.
Evan, however, is a biased journalist.
Yeah, I'm wearing an OMG t-shirt that my family bought me for my birthday. This was my birthday gift. And think about when that was. That was in July. So lots happened since then.
Yes.
But yeah, if the Mets clinch tonight and we're standing next to each other, oh my God. That leg. They have to buy you a drink in the morning.
I'm going to shoot right to the bar. You're coming with me. We're going to celebrate with the Met fans. We're going to have fun tonight. We're not taping Rico Bronya.
No. So here's what's happening with the Rico Bronya. Win or lose, by the way. So they lose this game, same plan. I am going to broadcast for the first time ever a Rico Bronya live from Citi Field. After the game is over, from the Spanish announcing booth. Huh? Now, it may start about 20 minutes after the game's over. Got to give them time to clean out. But yeah, there will be a live Rico Bronya.
Is Hoff coming to meet you?
No, we do everything digital. He's at home. He's got things he needs to do.
All right.
But I will be live from Citi Field in a booth. And win or lose. Obviously, they lose the game. It's not the happiest Rico Bronya in the world, but the Ricos, whether we win or lose. But I've never done this before. A live Citi Field version. No drive home. We're going to hang out. So what I keep thinking about is that visual if they win. Because if they win, they're not leaving the field. Huh. There's going to be a giant party that may never end.
And so the Rico's going to be describing what you're seeing on the field.
There'll be some descriptions.
That's pretty cool, actually.
Now, if they lose, it'll be a dark, empty stadium and we'll be depressed.
Are you inviting Met fans up to you to have a celebratory Rico?
To have a celebratory
can
Rico?
Can they get up there?
No, I don't think they can get into a booth, bro.
I don't think they can get there.
Evan, yeah. You just let them in. It's going to be chaos. The Mets win. It's the first time in forever. They've clinched at home. Nobody's going to care what happens. They used to run on the fields when stuff like this happens.
It's a division series. I mean, you still got to have some order. The LCS.
Hold on a second. When the Yankees beat the Guardians a couple weeks ago, people were climbing up light poles. It's anarchy.
That did happen.
But that's outside the stadium.
Yeah, I can't necessarily open up the press booth and let people in. I wouldn't be against it. It'd be a lot of fun. In fact, true story, former President Andrew Jackson used to open the White House doors.
That guy?
Yeah, listen, I'm not a fan either. I'm just giving you the description. He's anti-Jackson. Hey, listen, man.
He's only a racist.
Who wasn't back then? Andrew Jackson was the face of the Democratic Party. He was Jacksonian Democrat. But he used to open the doors to the White House, and people would just come in and get drunk. That's a true story.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Could you imagine the White House just, hey, you guys want to come in?
Is that a BYOB situation?
Right. Biden's got some liquor on the cabinet over there. Help yourself.
Yeah, I can't imagine that in 2025.
No.
But Andrew Jackson, again, not a huge fan of him either. Not a huge fan of his work. But I went to the Hermitage once, though. Cool place. That's where he lived. That was his big thing.
I didn't get that. I'm glad you clarified.
I'm a loser. What? They live at the White House, right? We all have our homes.
Yeah.
Is the president allowed to have, like, buddies over for the Met game?
Oh, yeah.
Like, how does that work? You know, you come in with the bag of Doritos, everything's got to
get cleared.
Do you know, and it unfortunately never happens.
You ever been? You've been in the White House?
Come on! You think he's been in the White House?
I mean, maybe. He kind of gave that, like, oh, maybe.
I've shook a president's hand.
Which
before.
One?
Oh.
W.
Really?
Wow.
Wait, before or after he was president?
2003.
He was president!
Yeah, I know.
They let you that close?
Yes. So, sad story. My uncle was a police officer killed in the line of duty. Oh, so every year in May, they do the police memorial or whatever. Right. And, yeah, you meet the president. And that happened in 2003. What'd you
say? That is very cool.
Like, what was the conversation like?
Hi. That was it. He moved on. It was a million people.
Strategery.
Yeah.
I've shook one president's hand, but it was long before he was president. I think Tiki shook the same guy's hand.
Who's that?
Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah.
He was on with Joe and I once.
Oh, I was
and he told me.
I was on The Apprentice.
I love the show. I'm a big fan.
He was on NBC all the time.
That's right. You were on The Apprentice.
I did the Super Bowl commercial at his office.
You know why that doesn't count, though? I'll tell you why. It's not a knock on him, necessarily. It's like, if I became president, let's just say I become president. Like, 30 years from now, I run, I win,
yeah, you're
all
a different
that.
Person.
I'm different.
Yeah.
It's not the same. Like, it's after you become president. Like, at the time, he's just happy that Joe and I are doing a remote from his golf place. Right. And the whole interview was him talking about how great his golf course was. And I'll never forget it. He told me right after. He's like, big fan of you and Joe. Told my dad when I got home. He's like, he's lying to you. That's what my dad told me.
Yeah,
he's like, he's lying.
He's never listened.
He's never listened. He doesn't know who you are.
He's too busy listening to Sid.
I could be doing the math wrong here, but Tiki, did you play against Dwayne Johnson in college?
The Rock? No,
yeah.
He was just before.
All right, because he was Dwayne Johnson at the time. You didn't know you were playing football against The Rock.
That's a good point.
Like, right. That's right. A like, good that's point. Thing.
We wow. did play Miami in my last game, the Carquez Bowl, but he left 2 years before. Maybe actually more than that. Might have been a few years before then.
That's a good twist. A president hit me.
I mean, presidents used to play football.
Yeah, a lot of them have.
I've met two sitting presidents.
Oh, let me guess. Let me guess here. Two sitting presidents. So Trump's out because you didn't meet him after he was president.
Should be easy.
Biden you never met. No shot. Barack Obama? Did you meet Obama? Okay, let's start. Barack Obama.
Wrong. Michelle Obama, though.
That doesn't count.
Well,
she wasn't president.
She was the first lady.
Okay, so you met a first lady.
Yeah.
Bill Clinton.
At the White House.
Bill Clinton. George W. Bush.
And George W. Bush.
How about that?
George W. Bush at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Bill Clinton, because my ex-wife used to dress him.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
That's Zinnia.
That's crazy.
It's insane.
Tiki is Forrest Gump. It's unbelievable.
He really is. Governor Christie once promised Craig and I that if he got elected president,
really?
We would get to do a show from the White House.
Go to the White House? Nice.
That didn't happen. Nah. Maybe someday. You never know. Let's go to Christian in Manhattan. What's going on, Christian?
Dude, if the Mets win the World Series. Hold on, Christian.
Yeah, sorry, Christian.
If the Mets win the World Series.
Yes.
We might have to broadcast from the White House when they go to the White House.
Well, who's letting us in? Is either of these candidates letting us in at the White House? Because remember, they're visiting after there's a newly inaugurated president.
That's a great point.
It's probably when the Mets are in D.C.
Great
so
point.
I don't know what your relationship is with the Don and Kamala at this point, but I'm not sure any of them are letting us in.
I love our engineer, Steve Apria. Imagine him poking around looking for a finger sandwich in the White House.
He might find something he shouldn't found.
Right. But we'll put the invitation out there that if the Mets or the Yankees win the World Series, we should broadcast from the White House that day. We're nonpartisan, so we don't even give a crap who the president is. All right? Right. We will go either way, and we're happy to be there. And then we get to sit down with the president for 5 minutes.
Oh, man. Can you imagine?
Trust me, I have enough things to say to either one of them. So, and I'll be respectful, of course. Let's go to Jeff in Oceanside. What's up, Jeff?
What's going on, boys? How you doing today?
We're good. What's up, dude?
What's up?
All right. So, real quick, I met my wife at a wedding over at the cocktail hour. So, that's a good,
good place to meet. That's a good place to meet a woman. Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
How long ago was this?
26 years. We're married, 24, two kids. Everything is fantastic.
Oh, that's dope.
Wow.
That's cool.
Good for you, man.
Yes. All right. Thank you. And Matt, so with the Mets tonight, don't want to jinx it. Don't want to be overconfident, but I got a good feeling that we're going to win and move on. So I'm confident. Let's go Mets. And on the Jets, I think Salah had to go, and I'll give you a couple quick reasons why. They constantly led the league in penalties. They constantly had bad clock management. And he mismanaged that whole Zach Wilson, Mike White situation. Mm. And a little nitpicking, but even just this other game the other day with the Vikings, why did he not pick up the 3 points early in the game? That made no sense. What do you got?
So here's the thing with all of what you said. They're all fair criticisms of Robert Saleh. They're all things we've talked about. Why now and not during the offseason? If you thought about this, if you're Woody Johnson for a while, and you're bothered by the lack of discipline, and you're bothered by the penalties, and you were bothered by the handling of Zach Wilson and Mike White, that's something you do during the offseason where you get yourself a clean search at whoever the new head coach is going to be, and you give them a full season to institute their systems. And I think that's the biggest question that Woody Johnson has failed to answer.
Yeah.
Why now? Why not then?
Well, I mean, it's almost like you wanted to believe because of, again, the relationship that Aaron was talking about with Robert Saleh, obviously with Nate too, but he just wanted to believe. And despite his gut that it wasn't right, he gave it one more shot.
Yeah.
And I got to be honest, I think Robert probably talked him into it, right?
Because you think there may have been a meeting during the offseason where Woody was ready to fire him and kind of gave Robert a chance to keep
his job? Right, where he's just telling him, Woody, you got to give me another shot.
Right.
We lost our quarterback. We have the plan. It's all in place. We have the good defense. We have the skill position players. Everything is here. We're going to improve in the draft. Give me a shot to get this thing right.
But the problem with all that is, and it's true he didn't have a quarterback. Like, we all know that. I mean, the quarterback play from the New York Jets over the last half a decade has been some of the worst in football. But the counter to that would have been, what does that have to do with the lack of discipline? What does that have to do with the penalties? What does that have to do with the other things that are legitimate concerns about you as a head coach?
I mean, the penalties that were constant, but it really was only an issue in one game this year.
But even last year on defense,
I know on defense it was, but I mean this year it was really just one game, and so I guess it was just it became typical. It became we've seen it before. It's probably not corrected,
right?
And so there's an accountability issue. I think the most damning thing, to be honest with you, it's not Aaron Rodgers, even though a lot of people want to speculate that he was the one that ultimately got him fired. I think it was just the honest comments from the team.
Yeah.
When they're saying stuff like, I'm tired of this, we need accountability, like these things that went into the media that had nothing to do with Coach Saleh specifically, but you have multiple players saying the same thing over and over again about not having the right culture accountability type of circumstances in that locker room, that goes to the coach, right? If there's not this understanding that doing things wrong is going to be penalized or affect your playing time, that's leadership.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what it came down to.
Let's go to Positive Nancy in Flemington. Positive Nancy, are we feeling positive
today?
What
up, Nancy?
Definitely. How you doing?
Fantastic.
Okay, great. Well, Evan, I'm hearing that your confidence level for this game is not good at all.
It's not high, no.
And that is unacceptable to me, okay? But we need to absolutely keep the positivity going tonight. You know, like, let's remember, like, we had Lindor's team meeting, Grimace's first pitch, OMG and Candelita. We can't forget Pete's Pumpkin. And now it's positive Nancy's turn, but I'm going to need some help, everybody.
All right, you know what,
calling on all the Mets fans to join me in sending positive vibes to Mendy, Quintana, the entire team. We're going to clinch in our house. Farewell, Phillies. Let's go, Mets.
Yeah! You know what's going on right now?
What's that?
And I see it bubbling.
Everybody's starting to bring the positive energy to you.
Well,
you're starting to feel good about it.
I am feeling better, but I can see positive Tommy is not a fan of positive Nancy.
Why?
That's not true.
I could see it in your eyes. You did not like it.
Tommy? No. Imitation is the best form of flattery.
Oh, stop. Stop.
Come on.
Why? She's just being like herself. She's being real. She's not imitating you.
No. But, maybe not imitating, but I brought out positive Nancy in the sense that maybe positive Nancy was afraid to be positive because there was so much negativity. Does that make sense?
No,
I'm inspiring
her.
Here's
what makes sense. Tommy has said over and over again, I will lead us. Mm. And Nancy's taken over the leadership. Like, basically, Tommy just got thrown out to, like, yeah, thanks for leading us. You're done now. I'm going to take over. Positive Nancy is now leading us to the positivity land. And I think that's bothering Tommy. Like, he liked being positive, but he also liked being the leader of positivity. And now Positive Nancy's taking his job.
There's not a jealous bone in the body of Positive Tommy. I mean, you are actually wrong on
who's
that.
Who's leading the Mets fans right now?
Positive Tommy.
It sounds like it's Positive Nancy.
No, hold on. Mrs. Met is not jealous of Mr. Met.
Well, that's because they're sleeping together. Positive Tommy and Positive Nancy are not sleeping together.
There are children listening.
I'm just saying. Well, I meant going to sleep together.
You sure they're not brother and sister?
No.
Well, that would be weird.
Where did you hear that story from?
I didn't know they were married.
I think TMZ had that they were.
They're Mr. and Mrs. Met, bro.
Right. What else would it be?
Hold on. You share the same last name as your sibling until you're married.
Okay, but it's not MR. And MS.
Exactly.
It's MRS. MR and MRS. Am I correct?
Yeah, it's not Ms. Met. It's Mrs. Met.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
There's a difference between Miss and Mrs. Are you aware of that?
I'm going to shut my mic off because I don't even know what you're talking about.
Are you and your sister referred to as the Mr. and the Mrs.? No, it's you and your wife.
Okay, yeah, but this
Mr.
is different.
Mr. Met and Mrs. Met are not brother and sister.
You're not
you going to
name her like Tanya Met. Like, if you're going to do a brother-sister thing, you're going to go Mr. and Mrs.
No, Met. You're not.
So you've seen them...
Have I seen them what?
Make love?
Have you seen a lot of two people make love? No, but you know they're
married.
We're not
even talking about the physical connection. We're talking about the name. So you are Mr. Sean Morash.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Your wife is Mrs. Morash.
That's my mother's name.
Right.
And Sean, here's the other problem you're running into.
Your sister, before she was married, was Miss Morash.
Right.
M-S.
Okay. The other
it's
weird...
M-I-S-S.
So M-R-S means you're married?
Yes.
Okay. Mrs. versus Miss. But the other weird thing you said is you actually said on the radio, have you ever seen them hook up together?
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you a question. I'm going to make things uncomfortable, but I don't really care anymore. Have you ever seen your parents hook up?
I'd rather pour bleach in my eyes, but I'll tell you what I have.
But if you haven't seen them hook up, then how do you know they've ever hooked up, based on your logic?
Outside of Sam Goody in 1996, I've seen them kiss. I've never seen Mr. and Mrs. Met kiss.
So you need to see a couple kiss to know that they're actually a couple?
Well, what are they, prudes?
Maybe they're platonic.
It's possible.
You know what I mean? Maybe they don't get down. I mean, then they definitely don't get down.
No. Also, we met Mr. and Mrs. Met at the Cadillac Club.
Yes, we did.
Did you happen to notice any rings on either of their fingers?
No, I noticed Tiki checking out Mrs. Met's tux.
Wait a second. Are they swingers? Maybe they are.
You never know. There may be a backstory, but the one thing I do know, Sean.
Disney, here we go.
The one thing I do know about them, they're not brother and sister.
Mm.
Okay. And that is the first person in the history of talking about Mr. and Mrs. Met that ever even asked that question.
Well, sometimes it takes somebody asking the right questions.
No, yeah, listen, questions are important, and I do appreciate
it. She's a Mrs. Not a Miss. A Mrs.
More of your calls coming up, plus Derek Jeter with an observation about the New York Yankees that I found fascinating. We'll take a listen to it coming up.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.